Everyone can appreciate the satisfaction and comfort of clean, breathable air, especially within the confines of a building or a transportation system. Yet, this comfort should not be taken for granted. The World Health Organization estimates that 9 out of 10 people breathe polluted air, and that as many as 7 million people die each year as a result. The severity of this issue could not be clearer. However, detecting air quality and flow is not as straightforward. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Preview of Tomorrow. I am your host, Mike Lake. And in this preview, we will be talking with Natalia Mihalova, the founder and CEO of WeaveAir, a startup that is redefining our opportunity to measure both the quality and behavior of the air around us, ensuring that it is safe and comfortable to breathe.
Innovation, resiliency, discovery. Join Mike Lake, President and CEO of Leading Cities, as we explore the technologies shaping the possibilities of our future with a preview of tomorrow.
Hello and welcome, Natalia. Thank you so much for joining us. And once again, welcome to all of our listeners and viewers. I'd like to introduce you all to Natalia Mihalova, the CEO of WeaveAir, a startup that is rapidly scaling their sensor air sensor industry and technology with its ability to measure up to 20 different metrics of air quality. Now, Natalia, breathing is something we all take for granted. Air and air quality, in most cases, certainly here in the U.S., I think we take for granted. But tell us, how did you become so interested in this topic, in this issue?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Michael, for having. It's great to be here. My initial motivation is that I actually grew up in a place where air quality was not so good. And many of my friends, my family were actually quite directly impacted by this problem. And I grew up kind of also feeling it because, you know, all around me, the pollution was not really taken as something that's, we did not expect very high air quality just because of the regulations and filtration technology did not really exist. And actually, a lot of people very close to me and friends and relatives had lung cancer and other kind of problems. And this is something that I only later realized how big pollution can play a role in this, and also how much action people could take, to improve things. So then I had an opportunity to go deeper into this and, do a degree in engineering where I kind of learned more about the impacts and also solutions and become really passionate to solve this problem.
Well, it was striking to me to see that the World Health Organization estimates as many as 7 million people dying each year from just the exposure to polluted air. You've shared some of your own personal experiences with that, and I'm very sorry to hear. But this is something I think in some places we do take for granted, having, well, what we believe to be good air. Others, it's a daily struggle. Tell us a little bit more about what is this struggle? How big is this issue really?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say it's pollution is such a multidimensional problem, right? First of all, we have influences of it from outside, some of which we can impact through the way we, use emission control solutions in our vehicles, in our transportation system, and so on. But some of it is something we can impact more directly through the way that we manage our indoor environments, through the way that, we manage our buildings and our filtration systems in the buildings. So some of it is more easier for us to take control of, and some of it is more difficult. And I would say, you know, the struggle is real. There is a lot of people every day that have to face it. And sometimes they don't even realize that some of the impacts on their health and the productivity is due to poor air quality. And something that is really passionate on for our team is to make people, you know, see it, make something that's invisible visible.
Well, I do think that in this day and age, you know, facing a global pandemic and wearing face coverings, and we're hopefully becoming a little bit more conditioned to just how important good air, clean air, really is to our health. But I mean, when we're talking about air and specifically, you know, indoor air versus outdoor air, there is a significant difference. Is that right?
Yes, in fact, you know, in some places you would have, you know, a lot of, such as what I mentioned, where the places I grew up, is where, you know, outdoor air is not really controlled in a very rigorous way. So there is a lot of priorities that, you know, the cities have in some ways, you know, like the it's justified in a way. So they have to, you know, look at all the factors that play into making the cities more livable. And so you would have in some places worse air quality outdoors, in some places better. But what's really many people don't realize is, you know, most often than not, we spend over, you know, 80% to 90% of our time indoors. And actually, those time in the transportation systems, in our buildings, where we work, where we sleep, where we live, it's often plays a critical role. And those environments, you know, are something we can often control with different solutions, and we can often take ways to understand better. And so what I noticed and what we noticed in our team when doing a lot of research into this area is that in many places, the indoor air quality can actually be worse than outdoors. And it's really critical for us to understand, you know, what makes it worse and also how to fix it.
And when we talk about air pollutants, I mean, there's really two dimensions to that, right? There's the typical air pollutants we think of, like, you know, that create smog and whatnot. But then there's the viral, for instance, pollutants that right now, as I said, we're all a bit more hypersensitive to. I do know that it was really surprising to me to think that when the average breath is taking about 50 to 50,000 droplets are added to the air from our mouths. But when you sneeze or cough, it's as many as 200 million droplets that you're... So, We're contributing to this problem just by our normal breathing and sneezing. So when you're indoors, I would imagine that all of those particulates and whatnot are adding up in the air, unless it's either filtered or treated or circulated outside. You know, is that the right way to be thinking of this?
Well, yes and no. So, I mean, yes, indeed, like when we breathe, when we sneeze especially, and even when we talk loudly, you know, we contribute to this small droplets or aerosol being produced. But what's really important to realize is, you know, not all of those droplets are actually harmful. You know, of course, sure. Right now with the infection and, you know, COVID and the virus infection being spreading throughout those buildings and in ventilation system, it is actually increased risks to have somebody present who has the infection and can spread it. But often, you know, I would not immediately assume that it is dangerous just because there is people in the space. But what is really critical to know is that if there is somebody who is present there and who has the infection, and you have also pollution in the space, whether it's coming from indoor sources or outdoor sources, the ability of the infection to spread is actually magnified. So the particles from the pollution sources, such as, for example, traffic exhaust filtering into the buildings or In the case, you know, in some places where you have other pollutant sources, like, you know, in California, we had the incidence of a lot of fires happening. Fire, yeah. And also indoors, when we have, you know, maybe something, even from something as simple as cooking that can contribute to particles, it can result in increased risks to people. So what we notice is that by having effective, you know, ventilation, air exchange systems and filtration, it can actually reduce those risks significantly. But it's critical to know also which places needed and which not so much. So to regulate it so that we can have a system that is not just protecting our health, but is also adaptive and are able to kind of respond to the needs that we have.
So let's definitely focus on that a minute, because now that I'm afraid to be breathing, tell me, what are some of the best steps? And specifically, what is Weave Air doing to help with this issue?
Yes, well, that's a great question. So basically, the way Weaver works and some of the things that, you know, you should be aware of is, you know, every building is different, both in which your ventilation system operates, the way that, you know, the filters that are best for your situation, and also the kind of factors that are influencing the conditions inside the space. So first of all, you know, it's critical to know which type of condition is the right for your buildings and the right for the environment. And so that's why often, you know, people would install different sanitation solutions or filtration solutions, but it would actually sometimes not work for them. And not be as effective as it should be. So I would say the first step is to really understand what is the current state, what is the sources of the pollution, how bad it is, and what kind of, you know, how good is the ventilation system that already exists in that building or even in transportation system. We offer solution for vehicles as well. So the way Weaver works is we basically combine hardware and software. On the hardware, we measure a whole set of factors. We measure air quality, like particles. We can detect, you know, when you're breathing actually and the particles emitted by it. But we can also distinguish that from other particles, such as those coming from traffic or smoke or cooking vapor. So we can detect if they're harmful and what source are they coming from. We also measure different types of gases, like, for example, organic gases. Like formaldehyde and PAHs, like polycyclic aromatics that are coming from different combustion sources. And also we can detect solvents, for example, to know when the space is being cleaned. And also some of those solvents, you know, can be a bit of a risk as well. And then finally, we measure kind of the physical parameters of the space. So how many air exchanges is this room or this space is getting by checking the airflow from the ventilation system, because we install this inside the kind of HVAC or air conditioning and heating systems. And we also look at the occupancy of the rooms. So by looking at those factors, it gives us a very holistic perspective of what are actually the status of the space, what needs it has, and how can we improve it. So it's sort of like a doctor performing diagnosis on the patient. Like we really understand what are the full, like, you know, prognostics of that building or transportation system. And then we use our software to be able to kind of identify any problems, any anomalies, and also suggest ways to fix them, and also integrate with the building control system and maintenance solutions to do that.
So give me a sense in terms of scale of solution and the applications. So are we talking, I mean, you mentioned vehicles. Are you also talking like office buildings or as small as, say, a personal apartment?
Well, that's a great question, because the solution is kind of scalable. It can be applicable for a smaller building and a larger buildings. Because we are, a startup, so we have to focus on ways to get our solution implemented at first. So we are initially focusing on kind of B2B, kind of working with a commercial building. Specifically, we have been noticing a lot of impact we could have on like office buildings, on retail, as well as industrial building. But of course, we are always very interested to work with partners. So if there is a company who is managing residential buildings, for example, and is interested in what we are doing, this is something that we can deploy. It's just we need a partner to be able to implement it correctly in those environments. One thing I wanted to note is that it does have also a lot of impact and benefit for the transportation system, and we had successful case studies both working in Korea with Seoul Metro as well as in Barcelona with Metro Barcelona. So I would say that this solution is ideal in spaces where you would have a lot of traffic, a lot of variation in conditions, and a lot of potential risk from COVID or other types of contamination.
Well, that's really helpful. So give me one last sense here. Let's talk about the future, 10, 20, 50 years from now. What is this threat that we face in air quality looking like, and how has Weave Air changed things for us?
Yeah, that's in our opinion, the future is something that we really need to think about, because currently the way we look at our built environments, our cities, our transportation system is kind of based on doing this audits to check on things, to check how well they are doing. But often those type of measurements don't allow you to make it to predict things before they happen, to make it more adaptive in terms of the real-time assessments. There are IoT solutions on the market who can do this as well, but one of the challenges that we saw is they're still kind of in silos. There are solutions that look at air quality, some of them look at ventilation system, and others look at other factors like safety and energy efficiency. But it's really critical for us to have a holistic understanding of all of those factors in one system that is deployed across the space to be able to make smarter and better decisions. And so that's our approach in terms of solving the problem. And for us, it's all about using this real-time data and creating like a new standard that will enable us and both public sector and private sector to make better decisions about not just how we operate those systems and make them more adaptive to changes in the climate, in the environment, in the occupancy, but also enable better design of those systems in the future. And we think that by deploying this solution at scale, and this is our goal, is to create a new standard and to deploy it at scale, is it will enable those kind of better decision in how we design cities, in how we design our transportation system, in how we design our buildings.
Well, listen, our time has passed very quickly here. And this is such an important topic, because obviously every human being on Earth relies on our air supply. So I want to just thank you not only for your time today, but really for the dedication you have to this issue to make it easier for the rest of us to breathe easy. So one last question for you. For anybody who wants to learn more or be in contact, what's the best way for them to do so?
Yes, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for invitation, Mike. The best way to contact me is you can just reach out on our website. There is all the contact information for me and my team. And also, if you're interested, we are actually recruiting also. So would be very happy to hear interest about this. We are also looking for partners. So as I mentioned, the way we work is we work with different organizations, whether maintenance professionals or environmental consultants or industrial hygienists, who could really benefit from the type of information we collect to offer additional value to the clients. So they can reach out on our website. We have a special form for that. Or you can just always reach out to me at natalia@weaver.com. Very, very happy to hear from everyone. And thank you so much for the invitation, Mike, and all the great work you're doing at Leading Cities.
Well, thank you. And just to be clear, that website is weavear.com.
Yes, W-E-A-V-A-R.
Thank you so much, Natalia, and we look forward to seeing your continued success.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you for the invitation. And wishing everyone all the best and staying safe and well.
And thank you for tuning in to this episode of Preview of Tomorrow. Listeners like you are essential to advancing our efforts to drive resiliency and sustainability for all. I ask that you give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever streaming platform you prefer. Your feedback helps us to grow and share these brief previews of what life in the future can be. In addition to thanking our guest today, I want to thank Peter Roy and Demetria Bridges for making this podcast possible. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and encourage others to also join us each week in previewing the possibilities of tomorrow.
Preview of Tomorrow is brought to you by Leading Cities, a global nonprofit driving resilience and sustainability for all by unleashing the potential of the world's cities. Join them at leadingcities.org.